Good morning, everyone. Are you doing some singing first?
Yeah. forsaken. I've been set free. I've been set free.
Come up the front. Let me get my gear. Who have we got? We've got Gemma. Come on. I know there's lots more kids here. Come on, guys. It's lots of fun. We got some more. Where's Mia? I got to do a little bit of work here. Just moving a bit of furniture removal this morning. How are we going, guys? Was it nice and warm for you this morning? Yeah. So now that I've done that, now that everybody's sitting down, let's stand up. Who's going to follow me? Let's go. We're going to go around here. Come on, follow me. Here we go. And up and down. We have to go around the chair. Here we go. Round and round. I'm going to go around. Should we go up again? We'll do this up one more time. Oh, I'm going up there too. And around again. And back to the seat. Do we do this at school? What's it called? Follow the leader? I've got some independent thinkers here. Love to see it. Okay. How about you, Gemma? Did you enjoy that? Did you follow me? Why did you follow me? Because I was the leader. That's a brilliant answer. Yeah, I love it. Because I was the leader. And because maybe you trust me. Yeah? Well, that's really cool. And this is about who we follow, isn't it? Because you need to trust the person you follow. You need to think about who you're following, don't you? And if I came in and I looked really mean and had a mean face and I said, follow me, would you follow me? You wouldn't. You'd want to think about that, wouldn't you? Yeah. And you all know about stranger danger and you don't follow people you don't know, don't you? Well, this is because Jesus said, follow me. And he said, follow me now and do it. And last week, Glenda talked to us about shining our light. See if we can get this little tiny light on. And she was saying that there are times when maybe somebody's in, yeah, maybe somebody's being mean to somebody else at school. And do you shine your light and stand up for that person? Or do you leave your light off and maybe be mean as well? Because whether we shine our light is all about who we're following, isn't it? Who's our leader? So if Jesus says, shine your light, be kind. He says, love your neighbor, but not everybody lives next door to us, do they? But a neighbor is just your friends, yeah? So if we're shining our light, we're actually following the leader. We're following what Jesus says, aren't we? So who likes to follow the leader? Yeah. And we like to follow the right leader, don't we? The good leader. Is that Jesus? That's a good one. Team Jesus, well done. Thanks, guys. Now, listen, there's actually some colouring in things down the back too if you want to go sit at the back and do those as well. Okay? Thank you.
The Lord be with you. We are the body of Christ. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you.
And we share the greeting. Hello. Good morning.
The Old Testament reading comes from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 to 2 and 6 to 14. It's page 359 in the Bibles if you're following along. 2 Kings, chapter 2. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left,
and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. He picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The New Testament reading is from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1, and then verses 13 to 25. That's on page 1154 in the Pew Bibles. Galatians 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what's contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if they are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you please stand for the gospel reading? The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Chapter 9, beginning at verse 51. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for his arrival. But they did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said, no one who puts a hand to the plough and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And may these words be heard and spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please be seated? Now, today's gospel reading is a difficult one. And that's because it's confrontational. And it doesn't leave much, if any, wiggle room. No one who puts a hand to the plough and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. We're either responding to God's call on our lives or we are not. And Jesus is calling us to question the direction of our lives, the values we claim to hold, and how we are living and embodying those values. He's asking us first and foremost to look at ourselves rather than the Samaritan on whom we'd like to call down fire from heaven. And by Samaritan, I mean those who look, act, and believe differently from us, those people who do not have our particular religious or political beliefs, those who are not from our country, those to whom we are opposed or in conflict for whatever reason. And if you're not sure who your Samaritans are, just have a look at your social media pages and see those who post the articles and comments that push your buttons. Today's gospel won't let us turn away from the people and situations that are right in front of us. On the one hand, we say to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you'll go. But on the other hand, we say, well, but first let me go and... And you probably know what that's like, right? Because I know I do. Should I welcome that newcomer to our home group? I really don't know anything about them, and they do dress like hippies. Or should I wholeheartedly welcome them to the group without any expectations, understanding that they bring new gifts, different points of view, and experiences of the gospel at work in their lives? Or should I, this was one of my challenges when I was here as a youth minister, or should I allow that troublemaking teenager to come to our youth group camp, knowing that he was probably going to make trouble, or at least encourage others to make trouble and get into mischief? But then again, on the other hand, he may just be influenced by the formation of Christian community over that weekend, the love that he will feel from the other young people. He may be influenced by them and join in, and he'd actually enjoy himself. For the sake of our faith, our beliefs, we make decisions and take risks most days of our lives. And one night, when I was working in Aspley Albany Creek Parish, I was on my way home from a youth group night. It was a very cold night, and I passed a man with a little girl in school uniform, and they were walking along the road, along the footpath. And the little girl was probably in either year one or two, not much more, no more than that. And as I drove past, I had seen a car parked on the side of the road a bit way back, and then the couple. And I drove back and I thought, well, I really should turn around and offer them a lift. This is how far. It looked like a father and daughter. But then I thought, well, I don't really know them. What if you know I'm endangering myself? Because we've had it drummed into us that you don't pick up strangers. Our children know about stranger danger, and so they should. Well, after a couple of silent arrow prayers, I turned around, stopped, and offered them a lift. I don't know who was more nervous, me or them, but they were very, very grateful. But the man asked me if I could drop his daughter off at home first and then take him to the garage to get fuel. And that would mean that I would be in a car alone with him. As it turned out, I was safe. But my good deed could have had a different outcome altogether. Now, I'll ask you this question. When have you experienced that tension, not the same as my situation, when it felt like you were being pulled in two directions, the way of faith or some other way? In what ways have you said, well, just let me go, let me first go and... You see, it's easy to follow Jesus in principle. Love your neighbour as yourself, love your enemy, welcome the stranger, visit the sick, in prison, and feed the hungry and clothe the naked, and give the thirsty something to drink, turn the other cheek and forgive. Not just seven times, but 70 times seven. Now that can be hard. Yes, most of us probably agree with those values in principle, I suppose, and I suspect that we are in favour of love, hospitality, forgiveness, and non-violence, until we meet the unlovable, the stranger who scares us, that unforgivable act, the one who throws that first punch, or the Samaritan in our life. Then it's a different story, and that story begins with "but first." Jesus, however, puts no qualifications or limitations or exceptions on where he is going or who is included or what he is offering. He doesn't care about the colour of our skin, whether we are a believer or a non-believer. He said no to the disciples' decision of raining down fire on those Samaritans. He used the story of the Good Samaritan as an illustration of the goodness in everyone, even those who were considered outsiders. For Jesus, there are no conditions attached to love, hospitality, or forgiveness. He does not allow for a but first in the lives of his followers. But first is putting conditions on the unconditional. Yes, I will love the other, but first let me go and see who the other is. Are they deserving of my love? Yes, I will open my door and welcome the stranger, but first let me go and see who's knocking. What do they want and what am I risking? Yes, I will forgive, but first let me go and see if there is actually an acknowledgement of wrongdoing and sorrow for what they've done. And have they promised to change? Yes, I will give to and care for the other, but first let me go and see why I should. What will it cost me and what's in it for me? It's as if we're backing our way into the kingdom while keeping an eye on the door. It's as if we're walking backwards into the future, not wanting to see or deal with what is before us. It's as if we put our hand to the plough and look back. And we already know what Jesus thinks about that. Now, I wasn't kidding when I said that this is a difficult gospel. It's about choices and the decisions we make every day. I wonder what our lives and the world would look like if we were to love, give, welcome, and forgive without a but first. Now, I know this is tricky at the moment. Our world is facing terrible tragedies and war and unjust events. The reality is we can do something every day in our own place. Because Jesus calls us to live lives that love the unlovable, forgive the unforgivable, welcome the stranger, and give without a payback. Or even a thank you. Yes, I wonder what our world would look like if self-serving and self-preservation was taken out of our considerations in every choice we make every day. The Lord be with you.
Let us stand as we make an affirmation of our faith. I believe I need a shepherd because I am sometimes timid and other times overconfident because I often don't know the best path, yet pretend I do. To death or lead others. Because my brightest ideas are stained with darkness, because the things I crave may not be what is good for me. I need a shepherd. I believe in Jesus, the best possible shepherd. His wisdom leads me to the optimum opportunities. His word comforts me when I'm anxious or afraid. His arm steadies me when I feel weary and heavy laden. His wounded body displays the cost of my rescue. I believe in Jesus, the best possible shepherd. I believe that I do not find him, but he finds me, that I am under his care by virtue of shared grace. He gives me is to be shared with others, that he treasures my name and prepares a place for me, that his fold transfixes earth and heaven. I trust Jesus, the good shepherd. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we, your family here at HTK, welcome you to this, our home, your house, which you have so wondrously created and provided for us. How blessed are we that you are here today with us as we gather in friendship and fellowship to give praise and to worship you. We thank you for the beauty of this land of yours and ours, the diversity of your imagination reflected in the diversity of your creation. We are in awe of your hand in everything we see around us, as well as in everything we do. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we pray for the world. There are so many fears we live through because of sometimes our own sins, but also because of the sins of others. We pray for peace and safety in our world. We continue to pray for the safety and well-being of the citizens of the Ukraine as they live each day in fear of their lives because of the selfish desires of others. We pray for the leaders of all countries, of all states and communities within those countries, that they will seek good counsel, work honestly, and strive to not only look after all the people they are given responsibility to care for, but also to speak up and stand up for people outside their own countries who are subject to the injustices of power and greed. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we thank you for the love and care of our HTK family. We pray for our own spiritual guide, Steve, and his right-hand Clenda, and we pray for rest and restoration for them as they spend a long-awaited time with their extended family this week. We pray for our lay leadership and the roles that they play in our family. We thank you that our family is part of a community of love and fellowship under your guidance and direction across the Sunshine Coast. Father, we know that we have all done things that can scare us and make us uncomfortable. We thank you always for being with us, walking beside us. Unfortunately, we can at times forget your presence. Father, remind us the reason you walk with us is to keep us safe from harm. Sometimes we forget that just knowing you are with us can be all the reassurance we need. So, Father, today we bring to you our worries, our fears, and our concerns. We pray that you will give us the strength and courage, not just physical, but maybe emotional and definitely spiritual strength and courage to get through the issues that we find ourselves confronted with today, this week, this year. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we uphold those from our HTK family and others known to us who are struggling with life at the moment. We pray for our sister Dee as she mourns the loss of her husband and our brother Barry this week. Let her be comforted in the knowledge that Barry is now with you in heaven. We are all surrounded by illnesses that have affected us in so many ways, so often in recent times. Father, as we pray for those known to us in the silence of our hearts who are struggling, renew us and refresh us and them as we pray. Fill us with your spirit so that we can face what lies ahead as we come into our cooler winter months. Lord, in your mercy. Father, thanks for all you are to us and for us. Thanks for walking with us. Thanks for listening to our fears. Thanks for knowing what we need. Thanks for walking and encouraging us as we walk with you. As we head into another week, as holidays start for so many people around this country, keep us strong and courageous against the sins of the world that are sent to test us. Remind us that our fears are all to be conquered simply by faith in you. Lord, in your mercy. And Father, we offer all these prayers to you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Can we stand and share the grace together? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Come close, nothing can compare.
to be.